Indeed, so we're going to go ahead and move on with the panel. Also, I want to acknowledge everybody in this room right now, everybody in the building right here. The fact that y'all came out early, you know, to really check this panel out means a lot, you know what I mean? Because 10 years ago, these brothers made a song called It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. And the bigger picture is this struggle that we're talking about, you know, liberation. So give it up for yourselves for making it up here, you know what I'm saying? For real. All right, so again, we're going to start the panel discussion. We'll have everyone, their prayers, go ahead. And also, we have Sister. Also, you should know the Bay Area is very historic. Like we said, this is the home of the Black Panther Party, and we are really privileged, honored, and blessed to have a legend right here that we're basically standing on her shoulders. You know what I mean? As young activist organizers trying to make change out here, Sister Tarika Lewis is in the building, y'all. Give it up for real, for real. Also, Jack Bryson, come on up. Jack Bryson, his two sons were on the stage on the platform with Oscar Grant. And this whole thing is going to be moderated by Minister of Information, JR, Black Report Radio, you already know, PLCC, what's the call? Uh-huh. Come on.
All right, well, I want to thank everybody for coming out, and I'm honored to be on such a distinguished panel with a lot of people that I've been inspired by and looked up to and have taught me a lot of different things in my life. So, let me give a brief introduction because I know most of these people. First off, this is Tarika Lewis, the first woman in the Black Panther Party. First woman to ever be a Black Panther. Tarika, so you probably know of Asada Shakur, Afeni Shakur, or whoever else. You know what I'm saying? You may know of Okoye Ejiri, you know, Nana Conway, but Tarika Lewis was the prototype. You know, so this is Tarika Lewis. That's Matulu Olubala, a.k.a. in one of their prayers, somebody that I met as an organizer, as a friend, a brother, as well as a comrade and a dope rapper. Somebody who don't just talk about it, but makes himself available for the struggles of the community. You know, no matter how hectic the schedule is, no matter what's going on, if anyone could do it, even if M1 might can't do it, M1 gonna make it happen. So you know what I'm saying? That's M1, DP. This is Roxy, somebody that we've been doing work with as the POCC for a number of years. We worked very close together along with the comrade Sinister Z, East Bay Politics, who in the crowd, in the audience. We worked together real tough on the San Francisco 8 project, you know, and also he's helped out with other campaigns, but he definitely took a position on the San Francisco 8. If you don't know who that is, you should Google it. You know, we still saying free Francisco Torres, free the New York 3, free them all. But look for Francisco Torres of the San Francisco 8 who's still fighting the case. Roxyline was one of the people, along with Sinister Z, and a few other people that helped push it artistically and plays a huge role in the code of culture, you know, that artists play in the struggle for our movement here in the Bay Area, but nationwide, but here he based in the Bay Area. So, you know, that's Roxyline. Jack Bryson is somebody. Jack Bryson is somebody that I've been tag teaming a lot. We probably do two, maybe even three events a week together. Pushing the line on Oscar Grant, somebody who, you know, has been like a big brother. You know, we tag team a lot on a lot of different kinds of events. So his sons were with Oscar Grant, and he is definitely, along with Uncle Bobby, leaders in the Justice for Oscar Grant movement. There are other people in the crowd, David, Beatrice, Sister Beatrice, and a number of other people in the crowd, Shane, that does work with the Justice for Oscar Grant Coalition, and you know, I just wanted to acknowledge y'all too. Jack Bryson, like I said, is somebody who I've tag teamed with a lot, and you know, I'm happy to have him on the panel. So the first thing I want to ask, and I'm just going to ask it to whoever wants to answer, is what is the importance of joining art with the political struggles of today? We're talking specifically about Oscar Grant today, but you know, in different parts of the country, other campaigns are more phenomenal, like we were talking about Ayanna Jones in Detroit, Sean Bell in New York. What is the importance of joining art with the political struggles, and what is this, what is the purpose?
Well, they go hand in hand with the struggle. Many of the people who I work with initially who were acting students at Oakland Tech, they were also artists and musicians and writers and involved in theater. And so they took those skills to the street because we felt we had something very sacred to protect. Okay, so it was hand in hand with the struggle. And we use our talents to be able to call attention to it visually, you know, with once the newspapers were developed, we used editorial cartoons, and with the music, of course, the lumber that came about. So, and then that spread to other artists, James Brown and Sly Stone and the other artists who came up in the Bay Area. Their music was very political, you know, during that time. So it took a turn.
Can you speak, because a lot of people don't know that you were also one of the cartoonists. Emory was the Minister of Culture, but you was right along with him, drawing pictures that was a phenomenal art form, revolutionary vehicle to promote what the Black Panther Party was about.
Well, thank you. It was very hard, and it was very dangerous, our working conditions, when we did start the newspaper, because we had to constantly move places where we were working. And we had to call attention to what was happening. So our artwork was not just a pretty picture on the wall. It was actually teaching and training and calling attention to what the conditions were really on the street. You know, especially people who were not really deliberate, you know, who said, well, it's just another way of viewing it. You know, so you can see it, you can feel it. Yeah, somebody had to interpret it for us. So the newspaper became very important because our voices weren't being heard. You know, and the other media, you know, that was around at the time. They had that locked up. So we're going through that one.
All right. Tariqa Lewis. Anybody else? Want to address it?
Yeah. I start with a quote, you know, or remember the quote that Che Guevara said, that he said, the role of the propagandist is just as important as the role of the guerrilla in a revolution, you know what I mean? And so I think what he was saying there is, you know, like Tariqa was saying as well, is getting the information out there, using whatever avenues. Not everybody's going to read, not everybody's going to, you know, organizing stuff, so just using different avenues, whether it's, you know, newspaper back then, for us it's hip-hop today, that's a phenomenon that we're choosing to define. So, yeah, you know, just doing the right propaganda, you know, to kind of counteract the propaganda that we get all day with Clear Channel, mainstream media, and whatnot.
Right, shout out to Bayview Newspaper in Indy Bay, who's in the house. Jack Bryson, can you tell us a little bit about the role that artists have already played in the bringing, you know, who are some of the artists that has been working within the Oscar Grant campaign? Beta Weta, Jay Styles.
When Oscar first got killed, Two Short was out there, Mark Curry was out there.
Mr.
FAB, he was out there.
Tycoon King and
some of
the
LPs.
Can you speak on that too?
There's a group of artists in the Bay Area, particularly who work in the East Bay, who always show up. no matter what. They come out there with their drums and the music, and they're always there. That's Tuckman King, Ray Hodge, Val Saran, and they're always there. And there's some more drummers too, but they're, those particular individuals, they are always city culture. And they're always at events, you know, pushing the culture, pushing the information, they're teaching the school, they're teaching the community. So their life is around art and politics and struggle and culture. And, you know, their lives are dedicated to that.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to them. So I just want to ask like one or two more questions to get it warmed up, and then we want to open it up to the audience. Want to open it up to the audience and, you know, what it is that we can talk about as a community in organizing for this trial that is on June 10th, you know, in Los Angeles, what we could be doing right here in the Bay Area, but what we can also be doing with those of us that have the means to travel to Los Angeles. So, what is it that you think that these concert goer people that are here today can do most poignantly for the struggle to seek justice, particularly for Oscar Grant, but also victims of police terrorism in the future? I mean, what is it practical? I don't want to act like, you know, we expected too much or too little. But what is it that somebody out here right now that hasn't been playing any part but watching it on TV, what is it that they could do to play a part in bringing, getting Mezzily indicted for murder as well as the rest of the police?
I think I can answer that question.
Well, I take a lot of leadership from the people and the organizations that are in the room. This campaign has done a tremendous job so far of being able to capture the people's energy, whether it be through the frustrations that have come with injustice or the energy that has come with the potential of a victory, and move this particular campaign forward and made it forefront on the minds of people here in the Bay. So I think going forward, what we're looking for is justice. But justice is going to happen in a couple of ways. I mean, you know, from the movement standpoint, meaning somebody who understands the system that was built on top of the misery of poor and oppressed people, I don't expect the system to offer us any way that's going to, any justice out of this situation without some sort of pressure. So I think, and I don't think we can rely on friends that we have on it, and this is my point of view, that we have friends that we have on the inside who sit next to the man, next to the man, next to the man. I think what we have to do is be able to put the kind of political pressure on this particular government locally, statewide, and nationally to make the word about Oscar Grant so clear that the only choice and the option that we have in front of everybody's eyes, whether we have to Twitter it, Facebook it, have concerts, go door to door, write poetry, however we teach it in, write it on chalk on the sidewalk, however it got to be done, it has to be able to raise the people's awareness so that when the trial goes down, the only option that can be had, whether it be by the jury or by the DA or any artist, rapper, whatever popular opinion it is, by anybody who's making a new song and a dance, they got to be related to the justice of Oscar Grant, and that can be the only decision that we will allow to happen. And that's I think that is the part that the people here at this particular venue tonight have come to hear you expound about. Me as one member of Dead Prez, we try to vocalize the need for justice for Oscar Grant and all of our slain brothers and sisters in our communities over and over. I mean, we can continue to name, like our young 7-year-old sister in Detroit, and the system keeps rolling forward. But the only way we're going to get justice is if, when we are able to up the ante enough to do what we've been able to do, is to put this pig on trial, and then to be able to make good on our promise by saying, if you don't find this pig guilty, we gonna tear this motherfucker up one more time. Then that's and whether we tear it up and you know tear it up and figure out however way we figure out how to do that, then that's gotta be the only choice that we need.
Yeah,
Period. Well, let me ask you this one more. For people that do not know, may not travel as much as you do, how phenomenal has this case been? Have you heard about the case of Oscar Grant off of the West Coast when you've been in other places?
We went to Germany. Matter of fact, when was it recently? I want to say it might have been Athens, Greece. It was I don't know if you know about what's going on in Greece, but there is a left movement that is connected with the same kind of struggles for the rights of poor and oppressed people. See, their immigrants aren't the so-called Mexican people. Their immigrants are people from Afghanistan and from Pakistan. And so what's happening in Greece is there's this huge movement for justice for those people. And so we're out at this huge concert with about 5,000 people, and we say on the States that there was a young brother murdered in Oakland named Oscar Grant. And I know that it was at least half the crowd who raised up and knew who Oscar Grant was, and this is in Athens, Greece. So, and I know it comes from being able to raise up the world. And so we just reverberated. We're able to say, look, it's the code of culture, like the Prisoners of Conscience Committee put forth. All of you who know Fred Hampton Jr., who know JR's work, the code of culture means that the local campaigns must be addressed by the artists. So here we are in Greece addressing the campaigns that are happening in the U.S. and it's reverberating. And that must be done by all artists. We have to hold all the artists that you know accountable the same way. We have to hold Mr. F.A. the same way. We have to hold Boots from the Cool. We're going to do that the same way. Dwayne Wiggins the same way. You know, we got to hold Vita Wheeler the same way. You know what I mean? We can't, you know, Don P. We got to hold all our people, all of the Bay Area rappers, or singers, or dancers, or violinists, whoever we are, we have to hold them accountable to be able to put out the word of the campaigns, and that's what we are doing.
Definitely. M1 and Dead Press. So I want to just bring it to the stage where you guys can ask a question so that we can further this discussion about what's going on with Oscar Grant and how you can play a part. If you have a question, please come up here because I couldn't see you. That's why I came to the front of the stage.
Quick question. And, you know, I understand the plight of Oscar Grant. I understand about Oscar Grant. But what would you like to see come out of what would you like to see come out of this at the trial? Forget about whether he's convicted or not. I know that I can't determine that. But after this, what would you like to see happen? Would you like to see training from the police force? Or more community involvement for the police force? It's a terrible situation, but it's not going to get any better unless you take steps to prevent it from that in the future. That's really happening.
Point number 7 of the Black Panther Party. That was point number 7. We said a long time ago in the meeting.
Hold on. Let's listen to Tariqa real quick.
Can we get some respect? Let's.
An immediate end to police brutality and murder of people.
Period.
An immediate end to police brutality and murder of people. So that is a policy of the police force. Not an afterthought, okay, or an excuse to do what they do. I witnessed someone being tased to death on 98th Avenue, where 8 police cars with a slow speed chase of 98th and Foothill, and this man, he came to a stop, his hands were raised, and this cop hit him through the window, and then the guy got out the car and said, man, just stop hitting me. You know, all those cops tased him to death. He fell on the ground shaking. All of them tased him, 8 people.
So,
he stopped moving. They had the defibrillator to bring him back. So he died there. Not a word on the news. Not text everybody about it. So we have to communicate. This has to be a policy of every police force. And everyone who joins the police force has to have some kind of history lesson. Has to live in the community that they police. So before they go shoot Mrs. Johnson's son or daughter, they got to go to church with them on that Sunday or see them when they come home for dinner you know, or something, you know, that they live in the community that they flee. And this is what we asked for a long time ago.
Yeah, I understand that. I agree with you. Absolutely.
So you have to know the history. Okay. You don't know the history of how we came to this country. Of how what happened in Oakland and across the country, what eminent domain did to our communities that destroyed the economic structure, destroyed the way that families were held together and could shop in their own communities, that they put in Oakland. BART was one of the main culprits over there. They moved that 9,000 black families, homeowners, out of West Oakland. There were 2,500 black businesses along 7th Street. My grandfather and my dad had a boxing gym. He was the light heavyweight champion of the world. That didn't mean anything. They moved those businesses out of the way anyway to make room for BART, the post office, and the 880 freeway that fell down later anyway. So out of that, it created a problem. Housing problem, it created unemployment, and then it created another thing called police brutality, where you had some, and I had to say, these crackers from Mississippi and Alabama who came to our community and started murdering and beating people to death in the street. That's when I came of age and saw that happen. I had never seen a grown person beat a child before. That's what inspired me to actually put down my violin, because my parents were training me to be a concert violinist, okay, and my brother as well. To put down my violin and say, you know what, I have something sacred in my community to defend. If the police are not doing it, and they're the perpetrators of it, they're the ones doing the drive-by. They were doing the drive-by. They brought the drugs into our community. Okay, we don't have airplanes flying to Oakland bringing that poison. It was they who did it. They were doing the drive-by. I bear witness. I'm a witness to it all of my life, and I'm 60 years old. Okay, I've seen it all my life, and I did not know about my history until I started studying it on my own. So it wasn't taught in the school. So certainly the police who came into the police department with barely a high school education, who know nothing about themselves, nothing about their own history, and the history of women in this country, but certainly nothing of the African-American community and what we contributed to this nation. Of course, they had a disdain and a hatred for the people that they policed. They don't even think of African people as being human, the way they patrol these streets and the way that they treat women and children. And it trickles down into the school system. It trickles down when you go to the store. Because those at that economic base, not only in Oakland, in San Francisco, there's a documentary called The Fillmore. And it spells it out how they did the A, B, and C plan, how they removed the community. Tore down the business. Oh yeah, you could come back 20 years later. Well, people did now. You know, unfulfilled promises. But education, and know that our struggle is one. Alex Rashley gave up his life up there in Berkeley.
Can I just say something? Hold on. Excuse me. We have a whole lot of people with a whole lot of questions, so please respect the form. You said two things. You said training. How can you train? I don't give a fuck how much training you get to these white motherfuckers that keep coming into the black community and killing these young men. That's one thing. That's a mindset. They're bringing what they were told by their forefathers on Sunday at their Sunday table talks. That's what they're doing. If you look at it, how many times have a black or brown young man, mostly black, been killed by a white police officer, shot in the back all the motherfucking time? All the motherfucking time. So there is no motherfucking training. And then why are white police officers allowed to come into the black and brown community and police? Police what? They're the motherfucking gangbangers. They're the ones doing all the stupid shit. If there wasn't a camera there that night, my sons and his friends would be in jail for accessory to murder. They would have got away with that shit. There's no, these motherfuckers got to go, man. These are racist ass police officers, man.
I would like to add on by saying, by ending on to a part of this question. I think at the end of the day, the idea is what does happen after this?
And I think we have to take into consideration exactly what Sister Tarika has laid out, because this is not today. This didn't start today. So we start talking about resolutions. Hell yeah, we mean community control over the police force. Yes, we mean that we are able to have a council that sits among our people that can make policy inside the police force. Yeah, we have to be able to actually do that. That means we have to have people who can hold a position, who can make a judgment, and who we say, no matter what, these are the last say of what happens with the police. If the police are to be fired, then that word is going to happen out of our community. Until we can get that concession, then we ain't talking about having no justice for Oscar Grant. Until we can get that, there's going to be no justice for Oscar Grant. And I know that sounds like, well, what are you talking about, Em? That's unreasonable. They'll never let us have that. Well, that's the reason why we have to understand the war that my brother's speaking about that's against our community. How can you train somebody to have nice war, to nicely shoot down our youth? Because that is the idea of the war that's being waged against our community. Against poverty, against drugs, against gangs. It's all about the same system of getting rid of the African community to make way for the coming capitalism and the coming imperialism in the world. So either you're going to buy time with that war, or we're going to have community control that we say what's going on. And they can make that decision. And that's what the outcome of it has to be. It has to be, we need power right now. Power transferred into the hands of the community in Oakland. It says, all right, y'all gonna elect a pig, we can say who the pig is. Okay, bring him forward, let's turn around, turn him to the back, turn him to the front. How tall is he? Nah, he can't be out here. You know what I'm saying? We need to be able to have those powers. And that is real talk. Long overdue. This is what the Black Panther Party had been talking about. He's talking about, what do we need today? This is 1966 that was written into a 10-point platform. So,
that's hard. You know, I just got 2 points raised really quick. And one, to answer that question, what we need after this case is that for the police officers of the United States to know that they will be incarcerated when they shoot, whether it be a black, brown, or even white individual, that they be incarcerated for murder when they commit murder.
Yeah.
All right. Because in the last 15 years, only 6 actually been brought to trial and only 1 been found guilty.
Wow.
You know, we talk about in the United States. So the most important aspect of this issue is that we got to raise the consciousness of the people to realize that when these police officers shoot an individual, we as a community stand together, make it be known that we want justice, and that officer needs to be incarcerated. But my question here, I kind of went off with that. But
yeah, that's right. That's right. Consequences. That there's going to be some consequences. That's exactly right.
You know, my question is, how can, we got the OGs and we got the youngsters today. You know, and for me, I feel it's really important that we OGs share our experience and our mistakes with the youngsters today, because they're the new leaders. You know, so my question is to the panel is, how can we get the word out to the youngsters that a change has to take place, and that we will work with them to share our mistakes. You know, like the Black Panthers had a movement. There was mistakes made in the movement, infiltration and COINTEL and all this other stuff that we are fully knowledgeable about today. And we can share that information with them, educate them, so that when they take this lead, they can do much better than what we did.
Me, I think that as an older person, the bullshit that's been going on, as us older folks, we got to do what the Black Panthers did. You know, we got to fight this system, because there are no jobs, because these motherfuckers is taking all the money and look at the oil thing, millions and millions and millions of dollars. All these millions that these motherfuckers be starting wars with and all that shit. We should be taking care of our own youth and our own community. So all this shit wouldn't be going on. It's going on because this is what they created. I'm looking at a film right now. It's called King Alfred.
That's right.
King Alfred. These motherfuckers got 600 prisons empty right now, just waiting for martial law to be given to them. And once martial law is given to them, how do you think these 600 prisons that are not filled are going to be filled?
So it's up to us to make a difference. We got to stand up as a motherfucking community and quit taking this shit, man. Excuse my, I get upset because I keep thinking of what happened to Oscar Grant. Oscar Grant should be here right now. That's why I keep getting upset. And these motherfucking police keep getting away with the shit that they keep doing. And we don't stand up to them. We keep letting them do this shit. You know, like we used to go to Bork. And I feel good about this. And me and Sister Beatrice, Dave, Shane, JR, the community, we went up there and it took a while. And Bobby, we demanded that you fire these cops. Well, first time in history, two police officers have been fired for an accessory to murder. You know, but we're not stopping there. We want murder. We want murder for all of them. It's going to happen.
And I want to say real quick to address what Bobby's talking about too, is like the generation gap. It's really important that, you know, whatever generation it is, that there's a constant dialogue, you know what I mean? So in terms of Oakland, you know, me being a late 20s person, I'm going to sit here and chop it up with my youngsters about what's going on and about how their actions, whether it's constructive or destructive, you know, how that's impacting and what it means in terms of their future. Because right now, most youngsters got things on, you know what I'm saying? They don't fight these days. They pull out steel and they shoot at each other, you know what I'm saying? So it's really about giving them some political education and not talking at them, but talking to them. You know what I mean? Not preaching, but attempting to outreach. You know what I mean? That's really the intention that, you know, some of us, and I know Tarika as well, continues the education work, you know, and then again with the music and Jackson speaking and obviously JR with the Bayview and the Block Report. These are all avenues that are really accessible to the youth. So we're not speaking above their heads. We're not trying to dumb down. But we're actually reaching them on the level where they're at and attempting to elevate it. You know what I'm saying? So that's a very important thing, I think. You
know? I just want to say real quick that this is an attempt. You know, this is an attempt at us reaching out to the community and being accessible. We're having a community discussion, you know, and using this concert as a forum to attract people so that we can have somebody like you, somebody like Tariq, somebody like him, and Ross Elon and Jack and everybody else to have a discussion. So, you know, thank you all for coming. Hey,
yo, what's up, yo? I was an Ortango gangbanger for at least 10 years. Today, actually, with my homeboy, Mandy, I just graduated my master's degree at ethnic studies. But, I was locked up, and, you know, you spoke a lot to me. I felt like I could be myself and still fight for this thing out here and not lose myself. But, anyway, my quick question is, I'm an educator at East Oakland, Fremont High, you feel me, Mandela High, 47th and Foothill, and, a lot of people, you know, Oscar was a butcher, you know, so we remember him, but if you could speak real quick, honestly, if y'all could speak to my students, I got 30 students that we ride every day, we trying to change the world, and we doing it from East Oakland to the world, and I just would like, if any of y'all could, for me, I mean, my babies are my world, because like, man, I didn't know no 14-year-olds could change my life, but man, they've been healing me ever since, and I teach critical pedagogical English and photojournalism, and that's why I got a camera right now. I feel like I put down the gun and picked up a camera to document my people and the stories. But it's not really about me. I just wanted to give you all to feel a little bit to the youth right now. I mean, right into this camera, to my students in East Oakland. And if any words that you could share with them, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Well, I think that that term generation gap is just a loose generalization. Because I know the folks from my generation are still doing the work that we started out to do. And from the Breakfast for Children program that became a permanent program within the public school system, lead paint testing program, which became a national program, sickle cell anemia program that at Children's Hospital, where they were actually arresting parents because they didn't know anything about sickle cell anemia and thought parents were abusing their children. That became a national program. So for your youth, start doing the work. get involved in, you don't have to get involved with anything, but get involved with stuff. You know, okay, and do something, and don't expect to get paid for it. Okay, because we didn't expect to get paid for it. We felt that there was a problem, let's solve it. We didn't even depend on the elders. We want to do it for the elders. And so we put our lives on the line for everybody in the community. We saw our children need, these particular children need to be fed. We're going to do it. So we went down the Safeway, and they finally gave us the food after we had to put up a picket line. So we finally got food from them to start our Breakfast for Children program. And then other programs continued. It just began to spread. And this didn't come from our leadership. It came from the youth in the community. So there's a lot that you can do. I work out in East Oakland, too. I work out there on 90th Avenue. I'm over there on 64th Avenue. I'm over there at Explore. I have classes on Saturday where I have a whole bunch of little boys right now playing violin. So there's a, you don't have to do just one thing. You can do several things, but whatever you do, just do it. Just do it. Get in there and start changing things. And I think we have to continue to get educated in our history and our culture and see how much we are alike. There's so much more that connects us than separates us. And so...
Can I talk a little bit to you?
Sure.
I just want to tag team on the end of what Sister Elder Tarika was saying, and to the youth. It's here. We sparked the flame. It's going down. It's the people are. There's an illusion that it begins, that it ends with, you know, when the concert is over. You know what I mean? And I test and each person every night. I'm saying you got to go home right now, and when you wake up in the morning, you got to ask yourself, what am I going to do for the people today? When you go to bed, you have to ask yourself, what have I done for the people? You got to ask yourself that. That's every day you got to ask that question. To be reachable to the youth, we're here. Now, the spark has begun. We got to continue it with teach-ins and conferences and MC battles and street art. And we have to have political education and battle each other and how politically mature we can be, how much problem solvers we can become, because you know that's what the youth in other countries where we are going are concerned with. How are we going to solve tomorrow's problems? We have to be Rubik's cubing this shit out every day. Just like you write your rap, you have to be able to fit the puzzle of life into that and inject it into the next person. So when we come along, we have to make it popular culture. So we wear it on our shirts like Justice for Oscar Grant. And then we say it in our rap and we pop that politic and it becomes part of the way we walk and talk. That is our movement. That's what we are challenged with doing today. If we do any less than that, we are failing. We are losing. It's not going to work. That's how it happened before. That's how it's going to happen in the future. If you don't understand that, I understand it. Don't be lazy. Now's the time. Go all out. You see, only thing that we get left with is murder. The only thing we get left with is being jailed for 40 years, like Mumia Abu-Jamal or Mondo or Poindexter or Herman Bell or Jalil Muntakin or too many of my other brothers that I can't even go down the list of names. Let's don't do that. Let's find out a way to get free. And we can do it right now, and that's what you charge with. Not going to school to get a job, but going to school to be a revolutionary. When you get your degree, you figuring out, how can I undermine this system that is dirty and rotten and filthy and about to fall down any second and build up something better, something that's shiny, that's made of the people, that is made up of a composite of all our ideas that's good for us all. And that's what we got to do. If you're not doing that, you ain't on the road. Let's get it going.
Before we take our next question, let me just make these couple of announcements. There's the Sunset Altar and Candlelight Vigil for Oscar Grant on June 1st at 8 p.m. at the District Attorney's Office, 12th and Oak Street. Also, there's a community gathering on the day of the verdict at 6 p.m. at 14th and Broadway in Oakland. And also, there's a teaching on the 27th, which is this Thursday at the Black Dot Cafe, 1195 Pine. For people that are in San Francisco tomorrow, there's an Operation Small Act screening at Yoshi's in San Francisco tomorrow at 6:30. Operation Small Acts will continue this conversation. Is there another question?
What's up? I want to pay respect to the panel. First of all, my name is Allie. I'm with the Green Youth Art and Media Center in Oakland, and I want to just ask a question about how we fund in our movement. A lot of people are out there right now trying to come up with something new. There's models out there that are working, but they're little and they're scrappy and they're trying to keep their doors open. I want to, you know, give a shout out to Eastside Arts Alliance and some of the other excellent arts activism models that are trying to keep their doors open and succeed. So that's one thing. And then I also want to just shout out, I just got back from New Orleans last night.
All right.
I'm not going to talk about the oil spill, but our African-American fishermen, our Vietnamese fishermen need solidarity right now. They're about to lose everything they got after just getting on their feet again. After Katrina, they are the entire Gulf is being destroyed. There are 16 superdomes full of oil in the ocean, and they have not stopped that spill yet. So we need to connect the dots and make the links, and I think we're the ones to do it. No one else is coming. So just anything you have to say about funding our movement and connecting the dots, like real solidarity with the Vietnamese, with the Blacks, with everybody out there.
We sacrificed. We stopped buying stuff. We spent our money where we were employed. Okay? We also began to look at those businesses that either were supportive or we had like minds and like missions. We supported those. If we weren't employed there, or if they were, for instance, South Africa, if they had money invested in South Africa at that time in apartheid, we started circulating that information so people stopped buying there. So there's stuff out there already now, you know. So I say, put up your funds, sacrifice, you know, and then everybody start pulling in together, you know, pulling in, get some sponsors and this way to do it. The artists sell your artwork. Yeah, this way to do it.
I say, you know, like, they're killing us with guns, but they're also killing us with food. You know, we need to stop going to McDonald's. We need to stop supporting Jack in the Box. We need to stop supporting Turkey and Chicken. And many more. And believe it or not, a lot of them motherfuckers are the ones that fund prisons. And here we are supporting them and giving them money. If they ever had a luncheon, would they ever eat that shit themselves? Nah, but they leave it for us to eat ourselves. Why do you think diabetes and blood pressure is so high in our youngsters? Because we keep supporting that shit and keep eating that shit.
And one thing I do want to say about the funding real quick, just historically, and this may not be a popular position, certainly not in the Bay Area, and you know, I myself may have been guilty of this as well, is we really got to watch out for the watering down of the grassroots community organizing that happens when we get government funds, all right? Because if we look historically at, you know, the work that Sister Elder Tamika Lewis did with the Black Panther Party, I mean, man, that was a self-controlled, autonomous group that depended on community alone. They didn't depend on the government to fund the revolutionary principles or the survival programs, you know what I'm saying? So, like, there's a lot of hypocrisy that we do out here in the Bay where we feel like we're being super revolutionary, but really, you know, Uncle Sam's writing our checks for our nonprofit 501 corporation status. You feel me? So, like, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. Like, how can we get, you know, some of these more independent, real sovereign things so we don't have to depend on, you know, this corporate status that basically is nonprofit. You can spell that nonprofit with a P-H-E-T, like my man Sin Z used to say, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it seems like they're trying to stop the people from really rising up. And, you know, like the FBI COINTELPRO papers say, stop the rise of the Black Messiah, you know what I'm saying? Nonprofit. It may be a tricky little wordplay there. I don't know. You know, I'm a rapper though, so I'd be out there.
And I just want to give a reference out that there's a book that speaks on that called The Choice. You know, you can read The Choice that also speaks about the role nonprofits are playing in disabling the movement.
And since you did bring that up, I do want my nonprofit. And I am the daughter of Ms. Tamika Lewis and work in my community and creative business. But there is a paper trail that comes along with working in nonprofits, just with the Summer Youth Employment Partnership that did pass to give our youth, you know, a way to get skills, learn something about the world, to travel, to do different things in their community. And then what happens? Money goes into incarceration. know, I worked up at Juvenile Hall and with brothers who are locked up. Education is like my mom said. But even working within that system, I try and bring the children the education of their history. We have to give them a reason why they should seek education in history. And we also have to give them these tools, and all of us here, if you're in the upper echelon, to have skills, we need to incorporate ourselves with this institution corporation. We have to have economic stability in our own community so that we are able to take care of each other. So if we're looking down at the children as adults, telling them, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, what are we providing them to step into so that they can have the space? And I'd just like to thank each and every one of you, but it is true, but the work will still be done. Either way, whether it's nonprofit or nonprofit.
Is there another question? Anybody else? Question?
Okay, we have
Yeah. Last thing I want to say before, you know, I let the comrades right here give a closing statement is someone was talking about consequences, like now that we have Mezzali on a murder charge and we got, you know, pressure to get the police chief to resign, the DA to resign, two other officers involved in the incident fired, that does set a precedent in terms of once the act of police terrorism occurs that there will be accountability for the community. But it's obvious by what happened last Saturday night to Ayanna Jones in Detroit that, you know, these pigs feel like they still have a license to kill. So basically, I'm calling it out, a challenge to myself and everyone in this room to mobilize, help Detroit mobilize, and let's really make this happen, man. Ayanna Jones, that situation is ridiculous, and it actually was it was filmed by the Next 48, which is some more television propaganda, you know, mind control, like brother said, you know what I'm saying, towards police sympathizers. They basically had a television crew filming the show right before they went in and executed the 7-year-old innocent girl who was asleep on her couch, you know what I'm saying? So basically, we in Oakland, we've already, and here in the Bay, we've already shown that we know how to keep it moving. So I challenge myself and the rest of us to take this work to Detroit, you know what I'm saying, and worldwide, you feel me? So keep it moving. Yeah, we'll be out there for the U.S. Social Forum and tell them Ayanna Jones.
Bring it to L.A. June 10th.
No doubt.
Tariqa, you want to do an ending statement?
I just want to have a moment of silence for Oscar Grant, if you will.
Hey, excuse me, with all due respect, can we have a moment of silence for Oscar Grant real quick?
Ashe.
Em, you got a last statement? Or Jack, you got a last statement?
Yeah, last statement.
I'm sorry to be cussing so much, but, you know, as I sit here, I just, man, I get upset because, like, when I was driving up here, if you guys went on Abuelo and Gary, I'll just start thinking about my childhood. I went to that junior high school. And at that junior high school, one of my best friends was LaVell Mixon's father, Anthony Mixon. So, you know, I'm here, and now I'm thinking about LaVell Mixon growing up with his father, and I'm thinking about Oscar. But then there's another thing that bothers me, too. I got up early this morning, not only am I fighting for Oscar Grant, but I got a good friend that I became friends with. His name is Kevin Cooper. He's on death row in San Quentin, and he's an innocent man. And, you know, when I go up there, he gives me knowledge. You know, he tells me about what Tupi taught him, what he's been reading about. And he's sharing that with me to continue to fight for Oscar Grant. So as I sit in death row, you know, I think about Oscar, I think about LaVell Mixon, then I start thinking about Mumia, then I start thinking about Troy Davis, Sean Bell. And all this anger just starts coming out because, you know, as a community, it's kind of like, we're not really moving fast enough, or we're not really supporting these men, you know. So, like,
The reason I'm fighting for Oscar Grant so much is because he doesn't have a voice no more. And we are his voice, and we are his actions. You know, like my sons, they have nightmares. They don't even sleep. My oldest son, he's been arrested 6 times by the police since this happened to Oscar Grant. You know, it's just been a nightmare. You know, and then people are always telling me, man, quit fighting them police, man. Quit fucking with them folks, man. They're going to get you. Well, if they're going to get me, then that's cool. Because I think it was Che Guevara that said, it's better to die like a man fighting for a cause than a man on his knees not fighting at all. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
To what?
Just the ending statement.
Basically, I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank you for your energy, because there's not a lot of places in the world that you can go that the history of resistance is so strong. They picked the wrong place to murder one of ours. It could have been a place in history where our movement had been defeated, crushed to the ground, drugged out, zombied out in our community, bulldozed over. But instead, it happened in Oakland, California, which is the birthplace of the Black Panther Party and the highest revolutionary fervor, the highest revolutionary existence of a movement that happened inside the U.S. When the movement was at its height, when the revolutionary ideology was at its height. So you can imagine this is the perfect place to continue on the shoulders of our ancestors slain, murdered, brothers and sisters who would have nothing other right than right now justice for Oscar Grant. They would stand for nothing other than that. It would be freedom or death. And you got to be able to say it that way yourself. So thank you for letting me be in here and do what we're about to do tonight. Me and my partner Stick and Mike Flo and Sister Tarika going to do some fantastic stuff. Thank the Ceylon. And once again, Uhuru. I see y'all on the front line. Uhuru. So, Uhuru. Very well.
So again, for those of you that are going to be in the city tomorrow, Operation Small Axe screening, 1330 Fillmore at the Jazz Heritage Center at the Oceans Building, 6:30 p.m. Please come check it out. Also, the day of the verdict, 14th and Broadway, Oakland. Make sure you're there. So y'all get ready for this.